question for you this morning. When does God show up? When will God show up for you in your trial, in your need, in your situation? I don't know if you found this to be the case, but I have found often that my timing is not always the same as God's timing. When and where I want God to show up is not always when and where He shows up. And sometimes that can be frustrating. Sometimes that can be confusing. Sometimes that can be discouraging. It can even be disillusioning about, does God really care? Does God really see? Does God really know what I'm facing and what I'm going through? Have you ever asked yourself, when will God show Himself strong in this situation? When will God be evident and real in my life for this specific trial? When will I know and sense His presence and His power? At times, are you like the psalmist who said that it seems as though His ear is deaf to my cry? It seems as though the heavens are shut up. Has there been a time when you've prayed, and as the psalmist said, as you read through the book of Psalms at times, it said, it seems as though it's as brass. I can't get through it. It's just this impenetrable wall that I can't get through. When will God show up? We can't find Him sometimes, and we wonder, when will God show up? And I understand the fact of the Bible and the truth of the Bible that God is omnipresent. God is everywhere at all times. Now, my human mind, my finite mind, cannot comprehend the omnipresence, the omniscience, or the omnipotence of God. But by faith, I believe it to be true that God is omnipresent. And so I understand when I ask the question, when will He show up? I know that God is everywhere. I also understand and believe God's word in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 5, when God promises, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'm not saying we can lose God. I understand that for the child of God, God has promised His presence at all times. And I find comfort in the words of our Lord in Matthew 28, verse number 20, when Christ told His disciples, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. So I understand those things, but there are times in our Christian lives we understand His presence. We might not doubt His presence or His power, but as it relates to that specific trial, as it relates to that specific need, as it relates to that specific situation, we can start to wonder, when is God going to show up to show Himself strong here? When is God going to come through, so to speak, in this situation in my life? And so I'm not talking about the fact that God is not real or does not know what we are going through. I'm talking about those times when it seems like we cannot seem to get a hold of God. The answer has not come when we wanted or the way that we wanted to. When will God show up and deliver in your specific circumstances and in mine? This morning, I want to spend a few moments studying the nature of God and learning some things from the historical account of Scripture. We're going to be in the New Testament this morning. We're also going to turn to the Old Testament this morning. But before we study when He shows up, first I want us to take a look at where He shows up. Where does God show up? And this is going to be an introduction. I have a long introduction this morning. I'm going to scare some of you right now. Last week, we went to one passage. We were in 1 Corinthians 10, I don't know, that was a long time ago, 7 days ago. Where were we, Brother Kevin? I got it from him. 2 Corinthians 1, I can't remember right now. We were in Corinthians, though. It was a good time. If you want to hear it, go online and listen to the archive. But we were just in one passage, about 10 chapters last week, and we talked about being comforted by crucifixion. The fact that sometimes God uses pain in our lives to bring His comfort, to bring His presence. And we looked at the sufficiency and the grace and the power of God in our times of trial, in our times of need. But so last week we were in one passage and just a few verses. I'm going to scare some of you. Today we're going to read together and look together at, I believe, over 60 verses. It's a little scary. But here's the good thing. The real power is found in God's word. And so that means hopefully less of my words and more of His. And what I have found when I am the one in your seat and I'm listening to another preacher, we have two options when we're going through God's word. One, we can go and follow along with it and actually look and maybe make notes and underline and really put ourselves into it. Or, and I've been there, we can allow when we're reading 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 verses in a row, we can allow our mind to wander and we really miss the power of God's word. If you don't have a Bible with you this morning, there should be one in the pew rack in front of you or behind you if you'd like to grab one, and we're going to need it. Turn with me in John chapter number 11 is where we're going to begin first to find out where does God show up. You see, we're going to look, and our theme this year is We Preach Christ. We're going to take a look at the life of Christ and the ministry of Christ and learn some things from Christ. And then we're going to go back to the Old Testament, some types of Christ and some stories about when God the Father, Jehovah, showed up and began to do his work. And I believe if you'll follow along for a long introduction and a short message, I believe that you'll be helped this morning as we look at where and when does God show up. Before we get to the when in our lives, we're first going to see the where. Where does God show up? John chapter number 11. The first place that I see that God shows up is in a brokenhearted family. God shows up. Jesus Christ makes himself known and makes himself evident and begins to work in the midst of a brokenhearted family. John in chapter number 11, beginning in verse number 1. Now a certain man was sick, named who, church? What was the man's name? Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary, and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto Jesus, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Notice this, verse number 5. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he heard, therefore, that he was sick, this is an interesting phrase, the next 4 words, he abode how long, church? 2 days. Still in the same place where he was. That seems contradictory. Wait a second. It goes, John here, as he writes his gospel, is very clear to let us know that these are people that Jesus loves dearly. Jesus loves Martha and Mary and Lazarus. He loved this family very much. And they said, Jesus, him whom thou lovest, it's like they're reminding him, you know that one you really love that's really close to you? And do we do that sometimes? God, you promised that you love me. I need you to come through right now. And he whom thou lovest, he's sick. And it said, when he heard that he was sick, he abode 2 days. That doesn't seem right. No, we told you we need you right now. We told you he's about to die. If you don't come, it's not going to be good. We need you right now, Jesus. Humanly speaking, the timing was off. His love looked like neglect. That's a good thing to remember sometimes in our lives. In Lazarus' life and in Mary and Martha, his love looked like neglect. Skip down to verse number 11. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit, Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. God allowed a heartbreak, an unimaginable heartbreak into their lives before he showed up. He allowed them to face a great difficulty, great pain, great heartache. They had called out to him when there was still hope, and now he was dead. Verse number 15, and this is, I preached a message when I first came here from this verse here, and I am glad, that's an amazing verse, I am glad for your sakes that I was not there. That's amazing. He said, I'm glad I wasn't there to fix it when you wanted me to fix it. I'm glad I didn't show up on your timetable. To the intent ye may believe, nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. That Mary is so heartbroken, she can't even get up to go see Jesus. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. God, if you just would have shown up when I needed you, this wouldn't have happened. We wouldn't be facing these trials and these difficulties. God, we needed you, and you took too long to show up. Verse number 22, but I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Verse 23, Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. She said, I know he's going to heaven, but I really wanted to spend some more time with him here on earth. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord. I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. I believe all of those things, but how is that going to fix the trial I'm facing now? Verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was, Mary finally got up out of the house to go see Jesus and saw him. She fell down at his feet. You can just sense the heartbroken family here, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you would have just come when we called, we wouldn't be facing this trial. If you would have fixed it when we asked, we wouldn't have this heartache. If you had come, he wouldn't have died. When Jesus therefore saw her, what's that word, church, verse 33? When he saw her what? Weeping. And the Jews also what? Weeping, which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Notice verse 35. I love this verse. Jesus what? Wept. Shortest verse in the Bible. But it shows, even when it seems like he waited too long, his care and his concern, his compassion, we have not an high priest that cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we might find mercy and obtain help in our time of need. He said, we have a high priest, a Savior that does care. He does see. He does know. And when we are hurting, that is when he shows up very often in our lives to show himself strong. Jesus wept, verse number 36, then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And some of them said, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, have caused that even this man should not have died? Basically, they're saying he didn't show up. If that's how your God treats you, when you had a problem that he could have fixed, he didn't show up and fix it. They're doubting the wisdom of God because he didn't show up on their timetable. If he really loved him, I mean, why is he crying now? He could have kept him from dying. Verse number 38. Jesus, therefore, again groaning in himself, cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Verse 39, I told you we're going to be in a lot of scripture this morning. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee, that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? And by the way, that's what we see when we stay faithful in our times of unbelief. When we stay faithful in our times of when we don't understand. Didn't I tell you you'd see the glory of God? Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. When did Jesus comes and performs one of the greatest miracles we call, what we think of one of the greatest miracles, he raised Lazarus from the dead. There are songs written all about it. He can, and we use it as an illustration of how God can do anything in our lives, and God can show himself strong. And Jesus said, I waited on purpose because I had a bigger picture. I had a bigger plan. I had something ready that I wanted to show you that they would be talking about 2,000 some years later. And if I had come and answered your prayer when you asked, it really wouldn't have been that big of a deal. And when did God show up? We wanted him to show up, for he showed up, in our opinion, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days too late. But in God's timetable, he showed up just on time. And where did he show up? Where did God show up? He showed up in a broken-hearted family. I don't know what the need is in your family that has broken your heart. And you've asked God maybe to handle it earlier, but he abode 2 days and didn't answer your request when you wanted it. Maybe it's a need in your marriage. Maybe it's a need with a child. There's a wayward child or a struggle or a trial. Maybe there's some financial failures and difficulties that you and your family are facing. Maybe there's a parent or a spouse that has failed in their duties, and there's a broken-hearted family in your home. There's a broken heart with a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife or a child or a grandchild. I don't know what it is, but that's exactly the kind of place that God shows up. Where did Jesus show up? He showed up when the hearts were broken. God can deliver. He can show up. The Bible says that he's a father to the fatherless. He does hear us when we cry, and he does care when we cry. John 11:35, when he saw that they wept, Jesus wept. Where else does God show up? Turn back, if you will, two books. We're going to see Christ, another place where Christ showed up, Mark in chapter number 5. You're listening well, and this is all introduction. I told you a long introduction with a good bit of scripture. We're going to turn to four places, and then we'll give you the message, and it'll be a short message after the long introduction. Where does God show up? First, in a brokenhearted family. Second, in an insignificant life with an impossible need. Where does God show up in an insignificant life with an impossible need? Mark in chapter number 5, beginning in verse number 21. Mark 5:21, and follow along if you will. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, what are the next two words there, church? Unto the other side, what does it say? Much people gathered unto him. And he was nigh unto the sea. He had a huge crowd all around him that wanted his attention, that needed his help. There were people everywhere. And behold, there cometh one of the, I want you to see this, verse 22, one of the who, church? One of the rulers of the synagogue. Important person, yes or no? Sure, ruler of the synagogue. This is somebody we would think that God would kind of pay attention to. In our opinion, oh, that person probably is more important to God. They have this or they have that. They come from a good family or they whatever it might be. That in our, because we do that and we're respecters of persons, humanly speaking, but God is no respecter of persons. So there cometh unto them one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, notice, and what's the next? Two words, and much people followed him and thronged him. And now I want you to see verse number 25. And a, what are the next two words there? And a what? Certain woman. What's her name? Have no idea, do we? What's her position? What kind of social standing does she have? Who is she? Who's she related to? We have a saying in our society, it's not what you know, it's who you know. Who did she know? She's nobody. Jesus is going with the ruler of the synagogue to go help his little daughter. And there's people all around that are clamoring, and the disciples are there. And all these people that knew Jesus and that Jesus knew, and maybe they're talking as they go, and he's expounding and teaching things. And the disciples are asking questions, and others are asking questions. And they're going with one of the ruler of the synagogue. So maybe some of the followers, some of the parishioners, if you will, maybe some of the church members there of that synagogue are following along. I wonder if he's going to heal our pastor's daughter. I wonder if he's going to go take care of that, and it's these important people, if you will, and there's a huge crowd all around. And what do we see? Where did Jesus show up? Where did Jesus show himself strong? The Bible just says, and a certain woman. It was an individual, an insignificant person, which had an issue of blood 12 years. Verse 26, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. She was out of options. She had tried everything. She had watched the infomercial maybe, and ordered this medicine, and gone to this doctor, and gotten a second opinion, and gone to this clinic, and she had tried it all, and given all of her money, and all of her funds, and she was nothing bettered. In fact, she was worse. Verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. He's walking along in this huge crowd. It tells us much people, the throng. And all of a sudden, one lady comes and touches his garment. And he said, who touched my clothes? And they said, everybody's touching your clothes. You're walking in a huge crowd. What are you talking about? And he said, and he turned around to find it. But the woman, verse 33, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him. And told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Who did Jesus, where did he show up? Where did he show himself strong? Where did he take time? He took time for an insignificant life with an impossible need. Somebody that nobody, the name's never mentioned. No one knew who she was. She had tried everything. She's just a certain woman. And sometimes we start to get the feeling, well, maybe God cares about that one more. And teenagers will do this sometimes. Well, I don't have the home like they have, or I don't get good grades like that one, or I don't look like that one. And so maybe God doesn't love me as much, and God doesn't care about my needs as much because my mom doesn't go to church, or my dad this, or whatever it might be. And we can do that as adults as well and make up all these things. Well, I'm not perfect here, and I have this bad past there. And so because of that, God, I don't really deserve God's love and God's deliverance and God's healing and God's touch. And I don't really deserve that. But that's exactly where God shows up in an insignificant life with an impossible need. Here was a lady that he wasn't going to help. He was going to help the ruler of the synagogue's daughter and the throng and the disciples. But he stopped to help. I don't believe that story was put there for coincidence. And we might say, as we read the first story, well, of course he helped Lazarus. He loved him. Of course he helped Lazarus. He loved Mary and Martha. He loved their family. They were close, and they had anointed him with oil, and they had had him to their home, and they were close, and they had a good relationship. Of course he loved that person. And you might be sitting here today and say, but I'm just the certain woman. I'm just a certain man. I don't have a whole lot to offer God. I never anointed his feet with oil. I never had him to my home. I'm not the ruler of the synagogue. And you're exactly who God loves. And you're exactly where God wants to show up in the life of the one. And you might think, I'm no one important, and he doesn't see me. Your need may seem impossible, and your life may seem insignificant. You've tried everything to fix it, and you've spent all your money, and nothing has improved. And that might be exactly when God's ready to walk through your life and show himself strong. Where does God show up? In a brokenhearted family, in an insignificant life with an impossible need. Let's turn back to the first book of the Bible, Genesis 22. Genesis 22. I love this story. It shows us the power of our God. Genesis chapter number 22. Where does God show up? God shows up in the midst of shattered dreams. The God that we serve, where does he show up? He shows up in the midst of shattered dreams. He's that God of second chances. He's that God of healing, of restoration. He's that God of deliverance. I want you to see the story of Abraham and Isaac. We're going to see where God showed up in the Old Testament. Genesis 22, beginning in verse number 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up, and went into the place of which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day Abraham lifted up his eyes, and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass. And I want you to notice, he said, And I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. We're going to come back to that later in the message. Verse 6, And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood. But where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Imagine the heartbreak that Abraham's experiencing right now. See, God had come to Abraham when he was old. And God had showed up and showed himself strong in Abraham's life. God had said, You're going to have a child. And Abraham said, Well, I don't think that's going to work, God. So let me take things into my own hands. And so let me go into my handmaiden. Let me go into Hagar. And God gave a child because of God's promise. He gave one of the Ishmaelites. And he gave him a child. He did make a nation out of that. But he said, I'm going to show myself strong in your life with you and your wife, Sarah. And you remember the story. Sarah laughed and said, That's not happening, God. I'm way past childbearing years. We're not going there. And I don't think that's going to be possible. And God showed himself strong and gave them a child. And their old age and gave them Isaac, and everything was great. And wow, God, you're amazing. You really did show up in our lives, and you really did show yourself strong, and your word really is true, God. And have you ever been there? And God kind of did that in your life. And wow, God's been good to me, and God's done miraculous things in my life. His word really is true. And now God does something that makes no sense, humanly speaking. God says, I want you to take that son whom thou lovest, your only son, Isaac, and I want you to take him and I want you to sacrifice your son. By the way, God wasn't looking for the sacrifice of a son. God was looking for the sacrifice of a father's heart. But he takes his son, and imagine the heartbreak that Abraham is fearing, and he doesn't tell his son what's happened. He says, son, let's go. God, I don't understand it, but I've got to trust God, and I'm gonna follow God when it doesn't make sense. And let's go, son, and we're going to go. And he brought some of his servants with him, and they come, and they've got the donkey with all the stuff on it. And he tells the guys, you guys stay here, and me and my son, we're going to go worship, and we're going up. And hey, Dad, I see the wood, and Dad, I see the fire, but Dad, I feel like we forgot something. We don't have a sacrifice. And Dad, where's the lamb? And it doesn't make sense, Dad. We're all the way up here, and I don't see any. We didn't bring an animal in Abraham. In his heart, it must have been breaking. These are the last moments I'm going to spend with my son. These are the last conversations I'm going to have with my son. This is the last time that my son and his dreams must have been shattered. And God, I thought you said you were going to make a nation out of my son. And God, I don't understand. Why would you give him to me only to take him from me? And God, this makes no sense. And why would you let me go through this, God? You showed yourself so strong in providing Isaac, and now, God, you're going to take him away. Your working in my life was for nothing, God. Following you doesn't make any sense right now. It seemed like God had contradicted himself. Abraham's plans and his dreams and his hopes were all gone. They were over. There was no hope in sight. Abram is holding a knife over his son. It's the last possible moment. There's no chance for deliverance. He's here and his heart is broken and his dreams are shattered. And it's at that moment that God shows up. He shows up when his heart is broken and when his dreams are shattered. I want you to see it in verse number 11, and I like this. Verse 11, as he has his arm in the air, verse 11, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God. And there's a whole other message there. Sometimes God allows us to go through things for us to be able to prove our love to him. Now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. I believe a type of Christ, that sacrifice, that substitutionary death. This ram would take the place of Isaac. He was willing to give his only begotten son, but there was a ram there that would take his place so that he didn't have to lose his son. And there was that lamb that taketh away the sins of the world, the spotless lamb, Jesus Christ, when we were doomed to death, that he said, behold, there's a lamb that taketh away the sins of the world. You don't have to die. Get off the altar and let me pay. Let my son pay your penalty for your sins. Verse 13, it was a ram caught in the thicket, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. I'm thankful that God sent his son in the stead of us. Verse 14, and Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. What shall be seen? God shall be seen. What shall be seen? The power of God will be seen. The deliverance of God will be seen. When we follow him, when we don't understand, when our dreams are shattered, that is where God shows up. Then lastly, turn to the book of Jonah, if you will. You're listening well. I don't have any stories today. No jokes. We did a little bit of that last week. Today, it's really just a lot of scripture, but I know that the Lord spoke to my heart this week, and I hope yours as well. Jonah's one of those that can kind of be hard to find. It tucks itself away in the Old Testament. It's after Proverbs. If you want to turn to the front of your Bible to find it, feel free. I had to go find it and put a bookmarker there so that I would make sure I didn't lose it this morning. Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. So if you find, you know, Nahum, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, you're too far. Obadiah, you're too early. Jonah, chapter number 1, where does God show up? And you're listening well. Talk to me now. Let's review. First place that we see, where did Jesus Christ, where did he show up? The first place was where? In a brokenhearted family. Second place, he showed up in an insignificant life with what? An impossible need. The third place he showed up, and we could go through all different stories, but we see he showed up in the midst of shattered dreams. Fourth place, I want you to see in the book of Jonah, where does God show up? He shows up in a life that is too far from him. He shows up in a life that is too far from him. Jonah chapter number one. See, Jonah was a child of God. Jonah was called of God. And Jonah disobeyed. Jonah refused to do what God had asked him to do. Jonah was not living for God. Jonah chapter 1, beginning in verse number 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. I would say that a person in the middle of, if you want to call it a whale, in the middle of a great fish, in the middle of an ocean, is probably a little too far away from God to ever be used again. He's gone too far this time. He disobeyed one too many times. He messed up one too many times. He didn't follow God. He didn't trust God one too many times. And so because of that, God is done with him. I would say if anybody's life is too far away, it's the guy in the middle of the sea that just got eaten by a giant fish. That's the life that God can't use anymore. That's the one that he's done with. And sometimes we believe God's done with us. Well, I've done this. Well, I've done that. Well, I've been unfaithful to God. Well, I've been unfaithful in this part of my life. Well, I've wronged him there. I'm too far gone. I'm not good like the other folks. And I'm not like that. We don't have the perfect family like that family. And my life is too far away. And I want to show you that is exactly where God shows up. Because those are perfect circumstances for God to show up when somebody is too far gone, humanly speaking. Notice chapter 2, beginning in verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. A little late, Jonah. Verse 2, and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. By the way, may I say, there's nobody too far gone to cry out for salvation from God. I don't care who you are or what you've done. Verse number 3, for thou hadst cast me into the deep in the midst of the sea, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Then I said, notice what he said, I am cast out of thy sight. I'm too far gone. It's done. You can't use me anymore, God. Verse number 4, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed round me round about. The weeds, seaweed, were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottoms of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, when I was too far gone, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy, but I will sacrifice unto thee with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. That's the verse that all the fourth and fifth grade boys like in junior church there. The fish threw up Jonah on the shore there. And you can really, when you're teaching a kids class, you know, really get graphic there, and the kids love that. But what happens here? What do we see? God showed up in a life that was too far away from him. Chapter 3, and we're almost done. The last place we're looking. Chapter 3, verse number 1. And the word, I don't want you to miss this. Let's read this verse aloud together, if you will, please. Chapter 3, Jonah 3, verse 1. Ready? Begin. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, aren't you glad for a God that has those three little words the second time? Aren't you glad for a God of forgiveness? Aren't you glad for a God of mercy? Aren't you glad for a God of long-suffering? Aren't you glad for a God that restores? Aren't you glad for a God that heals? Aren't you glad for a God that comes from to a life that's too far away from him the second time? Jonah, would you go preach for me? God, I can't do it. I don't like those people. I don't want to go to Nineveh. That's not what I chose for my life. God, I don't like that. I'm getting away from you. I'm running from you, God. And he went down and he down to Joppa and down into the ship and down to the belly of the ship and then down into the sea and then down into the belly of the great fish. He got as far away from God as you could get. We would call him a backslider, somebody that slid away from God, and Jonah was too far gone. And he came to Jonah the second time. Oh, you didn't listen the first time, but I still love you. I still have something for you to do. I still have something. I'm glad for a God that heals and forgives and restores. A God of mercy is plenteous in mercy, the Bible says to us. Word. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. There's no one that's too far away from God. And God came to Jonah the second time. God doesn't give up. If you're here, God can still use you. God has something to do for you. I like that song, the drunk in the street, the rich in the palaces, the poor and unlearned, and the men of degree, they all have a soul in need of salvation. They all must come by Calvary. And the chorus says, I'm so glad God saves old sinners. I'm thrilled and amazed that he sets them free. But the biggest surprise in redeeming old sinners is that he would save an old sinner like me. He came to Jonah the second time. Verse number 2, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And verse number 3, it's amazing what 3 days in a whale's belly will do to you. Verse number 3, so Jonah arose. He didn't think twice this time. And he went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. May I say, where does God show up? You've been thinking, maybe. I asked God, and he abode 2 days. I cried out to him, and he left me in the whale of the belly, the belly of the whale, for 3 days. I cried out to God, but I'm just a certain woman. I'm nobody. I'm just a certain man. I'm not the ruler of the synagogue. That's exactly where God shows up. In a brokenhearted family, we see it here. In an insignificant life, an impossible need. In the midst of shattered dreams, Abraham and Isaac, God gave me great rejoicing in my life, and then it seems like he took it right back from me. It doesn't make any sense. That's where God shows up, in a life that is too far from him. And by the way, there is no life too far from God. He came to Jonah the second time. That's the introduction. So that's where he shows up. So when does he show up? With these instances in mind, when did God show up to deliver his children who were facing the great trials of life? I'm going to give you these 3 thoughts and we're going to be on our way. When does God show up? Number 1, we see here, God shows up when hope is lost. God shows up when hope is lost. With Lazarus, it was over. He'd been in the grave 4 days. Hope's lost. Then came Jesus. God shows up in our lives very often when all hope is lost in our minds, when it makes no sense to us. God shows up. What about Isaac? All hope was lost. They went a 3 days journey. God could have put a ram or a sacrificial animal anywhere along the side of the road. The angel of the Lord could have showed up at any time. But when did God show up? He showed up when Abraham was at the end of his rope, if you will. When Abraham was at the last possible place where God could deliver, God showed up when all hope was lost. What about with Jonah? Once you've been swallowed by the great fish, the whale, once you're in the middle of the ocean, I'm pretty sure, pretty much he even said it, all hope was lost. The woman with the issue of blood, it's been 12 years. Tried everything. I maxed out I used all my savings. Used all my retirement. I did everything I could. It's done. I can't do anything else. That's when God walked through her life. That's when Jesus showed up in her life. It might be a physical trial for you, or a spiritual trial, or a financial trial. And you say, there is no hope. God can't use this one for his good. If God is on the throne, there is hope, and that is when God shows up. He doesn't always show up when we want, and he doesn't always do what we want. It doesn't always make sense to us, but God shows up when hope is lost. Number 2, God shows up when man is incapable. God shows up when man is incapable. It seems like sometimes, because we don't come to God, God allows us to say, okay, you think you can figure that out? And I don't mean this like, but I'll let you go ahead and try to. Don't we do that with our children sometimes? We have help that we want to give them. And they say, no, 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 Dad, I got it. No, I got it. Okay. And we do that for their own good. We want them to learn that they don't got it. We want them to learn that they do need the Father's help. No, Dad, no, I can do it. Okay, son, try. Go ahead. Well, son, let me pick you up. Let me help you why you failed there. And then the Father shows up to show them what they could have done. And here's how we're going to make this better. Don't we do that? And sometimes it seems that the Heavenly Father will do that for us as well. We'll do the same thing. No, God, I've got this one. I'll let you know when I can't handle this. And it seems like the Heavenly Father will say, okay, well, let me know when you need me. Let me know when I can help. And when we are incapable, that's when God shows up. The woman with the issue of blood, man was incapable. Abraham and Isaac, man was incapable. With Jonah, man was incapable. With Lazarus, man was incapable. Man had no answer in all of those situations. When people tell you there is no hope, it's too far gone, you maybe tried everything and you find yourself in that situation, you are a ripe candidate for God to work in your life. Number three, where does he show up? He shows up when the glory will be his alone. When we can't take credit for the solution. Who could take credit for Lazarus rising from the dead? Who could take credit for the ram caught in the thicket, the top of the mountain? That wasn't man. Abraham didn't bring a little spare lamb in the back seat of the donkey there as they were going for 3 days. He couldn't take credit for that. God provided himself a lamb as Abraham told his son that he would. Who could take credit for Jonah being put back to use? That wasn't in Jonah's own strength. Jonah didn't claw his way out of the whale and swim to shore. God sent that great fish to vomit him out there on the shore and put him back to use. God got the glory in Jonah's life. God got the glory in Abraham and Isaac's life. God got the glory in the life of the certain woman with the issue of blood. God got the glory. Didn't he say, that's why I waited so that I could get the glory with Lazarus? God shows up when he will get the glory. Glory alone. Christian, God has not forgotten you. He knows exactly where you are. His arm is not shortened. His strength is not gone. He is gone. He is still on the throne. It may seem like hope is lost and you have no answers. It may seem like life is spinning out beyond your control. If that's the case, you are in a perfect position for the Savior to walk through your life, for God to show up and to show himself strong. And so, what are the takeaways that we take away from these four stories that we've looked at and this nature of God? What are the takeaways? What was the common thread in all four of these stories that allowed God to show up? I want to give you these two. And this is kind of a convoluted outline here. I give you four, then three, then two, and they're getting shorter as I go. And here's the final part, the takeaway. What are the two things that were common here? Number one, they all showed faith. Trusting God when they didn't understand. When and where does God show up? In the life that trusts him when it doesn't make sense. Start from the beginning. Lazarus, what did they say? But we know you can do anything. God, we know if you ask your heavenly Father. Now, by the way, that was a whole faith, belief, unbelief situation, because then God said, he'll rise again. And they said, well, we know he is when we go to heaven. So they believed that God could do anything, but they really didn't believe God was going to bring him back from the dead there. And that's encouraging, because that's me too. God, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. But what was the, in Lazarus' life and his sister's lives, what was it? God, we believe that you can do anything. What about with the certain woman? What did she say? If I could just touch the hem of his garment, faith. When her life was hopeless, if I could just get close to Jesus, then I believe God would show. What about with Abraham? What did he say? What was his faith? What did he tell his servants? I and the lad will come again. I have no idea how this is going to work out, but I trust God's going to show himself strong. I have no idea how it's going to work, but I trust God is going to show up in our lives. Somewhere between now and the top of that mountain, God's going to, and Abraham had faith. What about Jonah? What did he say? I believe you can do, and you read there, chapter 2, I feel like I'm too far away, but I'm going to look back to your holy temple. I'm going to believe that you can show up in my life. God, what does Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 say? Trust in the Lord, faith. Faith is the New Testament word. Trust is the Old Testament word. Same word. Proverbs 3, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. Don't try to figure it out. Trust him. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. God will show up in your life and guide you. God will use that trial and turn it into a blessing. God will use it to work it together for good in your life. If you'll trust him, faith. And then lastly, faithfulness. All four of these, what does that mean? They kept doing what they were supposed to be doing, even when their heart was broken and their dreams were shattered. Where did Mary and Martha turn? They turned to Jesus when there was still a chance for deliverance. And you know what some of us do? When the chance for deliverance is gone and Jesus doesn't show himself strong, we're done with him. I'll go to God, man, I'm having some problems in my marriage, we're having some problems in our family, we're having some problems here and financial, and I'll go to God, and then God doesn't give the solution we want, and we're done with God. Where did Mary and Martha go after their brother died? They went back to Jesus. They kept the relationship right. They still believed him. They still loved him. They still talked with him. They still communed with him, even when it didn't make sense. And by the way, that's when God showed up, when they showed faith and faithfulness. What about Abraham when God told him, take that miraculous son that I gave you and go sacrifice him? Abram said, I've got to do. Hey, I don't understand it, but I'm going to do what I'm supposed to do. Isaac obeyed his father. Abraham obeyed his heavenly father. Where did the woman with the issue of blood turn? She turned to Christ. What does the Bible say about Job, a man that went through unbelievable trials? When did God show up? When he showed faith and faithfulness. The Bible says in all of this, Job sinned not, neither did he charge God foolishly with his lips. He kept living right when life didn't make sense. So when and where does God show up? First, we see where he shows up in a brokenhearted life. Is that you? That's who God loves. He loves everybody, but God loves to help in those situations. In a brokenhearted life, in an insignificant life with an impossible need, in the midst of shattered dreams. Where does God show up? He shows up in a life that's too far away from him. He shows up when our hope is lost, when man is incapable, when the glory will be his and his alone. What's our part? What can we do to be that candidate for God's great working in our lives? People of faith, trusting God when we don't understand, and people of faithfulness. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. You may be facing the hardest trial of your life. Did you stop to think that you might be like Abraham and Isaac of old, like Jonah of old, like Lazarus of old? You might be in the perfect position for God to deliver you. It's always darkest before the dawn. Thomas Edison said many of life's failures are people who did not realize how close they were to success when they gave up. May I say, many of God's children miss God's mighty power in working in their lives because they quit, they run, they doubt right before God would have shown up. You may be on the precipice of God's deliverance in your life. Trust him, believe in him, live for him, praise him when it doesn't make sense. And there might be some in this room today that are here without Christ. He has never shown up in your life as your Savior. What does it take to have God come and forgive you and deliver you as Savior? It takes faith. Putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. You've tried everything to fill that need in your life. Man is incapable of saving your soul. Your dreams have been shattered. Your life maybe is out of control. You cannot save your soul from hell. That is the perfect place for God to show up and to do a work. God wants to and will show up in your life and save you. Will you allow him to? It takes faith. God is still on the throne. I don't know about you, but as I read these stories, as I studied this week, I was encouraged by the God that we serve. Because sometimes I convince myself why God won't show up, why I'm not qualified, why I'm not good enough, and we're not. But that's exactly where he showed up all throughout Scripture. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. You've listened well this morning. God, I do thank you for your word. I pray that, God, you would have taken my feeble attempt to convey what you gave me and you would have used it in the lives of your people. But I pray for those that are struggling today, maybe like Mary and Martha, their hearts are broken. Maybe like Abraham, their dreams are shattered. Maybe like the certain woman with the issue of blood, they're at the end of their rope. They've tried everything. I pray this morning would be an encouragement that the God that we serve is a God who shows himself strong in broken lives. The God that we serve is a God that restores and heals and forgives the unlovely. The God that we serve is the one who calls the second time. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if you're here this morning and you say, God has never shown up in my life as my Savior, I've never turned to Christ in faith. If I were to die today, I have no idea if I would go to heaven or hell. I hope I would go to heaven, but there's never been a place in my life that I turned to him in faith and accepted him as my Savior. I'd like to pray with you. If that's you, would you just slip your hand up so that I can see it? I do not know Christ as Savior. If I died today, I don't know for sure that I would go to heaven. I'd like to pray with you this morning. I've never turned to Christ as Savior. Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray with you. And then slip it back down. I won't embarrass you. I won't call your name. Anybody in this room? How many of you this morning would say this message was for me? I needed to be reminded of the God that we serve. And Pastor, would you pray that like Abraham and Jonah, like Mary and Martha, like the woman with the issue of blood, that I would be a person of faith and faithfulness, even in the midst of shattered dreams and broken hearts. God showed me some things from his word, and with his help, I'm going to seek to be faithful even when I don't understand. Pastor, would you pray with me? There was something specific that God spoke to my heart about. Would you slip your hand up? I'd like to pray with you. For a moment, you can put it down, hands across the auditorium. You raised your hand. The altar's open in a moment if you'd like to come forward and spend some time in prayer and talk to your God. Share your heart. Pour it out before Him. As we stand together, the piano plays. If you'd like to come forward at this time, spend a few moments in prayer. Let's all stand together as the piano plays. If you have a special need you'd like for someone to pray with you about, we can have a man pray with a man, a lady pray with a lady. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Do you need God to show up in your life? You're starting to wonder, is it really worth it, this thing of Christianity? Does God really see? Does God really care? Don't forget John 11:35. Jesus wept. Oh, yes, He cares. I know He cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When and where does God show up? It may just be that He wants to show up in your life. Oh, He's always with us. He'll never leave us nor forsake us. But when does He show Himself strong in a tangible way? It may be this week. Let's trust Him in faith. Let's stay faithful to Him. Let's remember what He did for Lazarus, for the certain woman, for Abraham, for Jonah. Whichever one you identified with the most this morning, take some time this week to study it and think about it and consider it. Go back to that passage and read through it again and let God minister to your heart, because there are times for all of us when it seems like the heavens are shut up and His ear is deaf to us. There are times for all of us when it seems like it's not worth it to go on any longer. But let's remember, we serve a God that sometimes He abides 2 days, but He never forgets us, and He's never failed once yet. Lord, I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for Your people. God, I thank You for the privilege that I have to preach Your word to these wonderful folks. For the good morning we've enjoyed in Your house, I pray that all of us would take these thoughts and carry them with us. God, may we trust You when we don't understand. May we believe You when the answer doesn't come when or how we want it to come. May we do what we're supposed to do when our hearts are shattered. And God, I pray, like Joseph of old, as he stayed faithful in the times of trial, and You gave him wonderful, wonderful victory. Like Job of old, as he stayed faithful and he drew closer to You in the time when his life was turned upside down, I pray that we would have the same steadfastness. Trusting You is my prayer in Christ's name. Amen.